السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. علماء الكرام، respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening. Yesterday we discussed the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated in Tirmizi Sharif, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His mahabbat and His love. We had elaborated and explained with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the importance of the mahabbat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned that amongst the qualities that was non-existent in shaitan, despite his piety and despite his knowledge, and despite his recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the quality that was amongst others lacking in his life was this deep-hearted muhabbat and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we as believers should make every effort to acquire and to achieve. With regards to shaitan, we must take a lot of lesson that sometimes a person engages in some ibadat, or the person Allah has blessed him with knowledge, perhaps he has the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he should never ever allow this to inflate his ego. He should never allow himself to become proud and arrogant. And it also shows the importance of us to reform ourselves spiritually. So sometimes people feel that what is the importance of reforming ourselves spiritually, and what is this that you must go by a sheikh and then the sheikh will give you some prescription with regards to your spiritual maladies and weaknesses. So respected elders and brothers, this is one particular example. But you'll find across the board that sometimes the person is engaging in a lot of dini work, or the person is, mashallah, he's in the first saf. The person outwardly has changed his life. The kurta is there, the beard is there. Everything outwardly has been changed. But unfortunately, he has confined the change outwardly. He has not internalized that change. And in order to internalize the change, sometimes there's the need, and there's definitely this need for the company and the suhbat of the Ahlullah and that Shaykh to try and assist you and aid you and help you. So we find that particularly in the month of Ramadan, the ulama-i kiram have played and laid great emphasis in sitting in the company of the Ahlullah. One is, it is an easy opportunity to spiritually reform ourselves, because as we had explained, the nafs is under control, shaitan is at bay. And together with that, there is a very strong connection between the suhbat of the Ahlullah and the development of taqwa, the very purpose for which Allah Ta'ala has given us the month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, that O you who believe, adopt the quality of taqwa and be in the company of the pious. Mufassireen explain that when a person sits in the company and the sohbat of the Ahlullah, then it will become very easy for him to develop this quality of taqwa, this quality of Allah consciousness. And you find that sometimes the person, his entire life, he's trying to rid himself of a certain weakness, but he's unable to rid himself. But just a few moments in the company of some wali of Allah and he's gone. That weakness disappears. Sometimes we hear people saying, but Maulana, he's sitting in the first saf and he's doing this and he's doing that. Or this person has got kurta, topi, beard and he's doing these kind of actions and abusing his wife, for example. So we have to be very careful also with this statement. Sometimes the person making this statement, he's not keeping a beard, he's not wearing kurta topi, in order to justify his actions, so now he's picking on this person's weakness. So the response that we'll give this person is that, brother, TK, we accept that he's in the first saf. It doesn't behove a person who is sitting in the first saf. It is not appropriate for a person with a kurta topi and beard to be abusing his wife. But the question that we ask you is that did his beard instruct him to abuse his wife? Why are you blaming the beard? Did the first saf tell him to engage in fraudulent transactions. Why are you blaming the first self? What is the first self got to do, or what is the beard got to do with this sin that he's committing? So what is actually happening is that this person is trying to justify he's not keeping this sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on this point of the beard, some people say, well, it doesn't look so good. So one poet beautifully says, ke agar daadi ke rakh lene se, agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma lagta, to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat na hote. He says, if this beard was something which spoilt the beauty of the face, if it disfigured the beauty of the face, Allah would never allow something like this to be on the beautiful chehra mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, that's the one thing, that the person is trying to justify his particular action and activity. If that's not the case, then the other is, the response that you would give to the person, that TK, the person is engaging in these activities and is keeping the beard. But at least he's doing one good deed. At least he's coming in the first saf. If he did not come in the first saf and he was abusing his wife, now he was committing two sins. But at least he's coming in the first saf, so now it's one sin. So why are you picking on that? We should rather focus on our own lives and look at our own condition and remember that when we're pointing a finger at somebody else, there's so many more fingers pointing at ourselves. One person came here in the life of our late Manus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah, I knew the person personally. And even he asked me the question and I told him that why don't you go and ask Hazrat directly. So he was very concerned, Hazrat is wearing the watch on the left hand. He said, the Wali of Allah, now, you know, right hand is supposed to be on the right hand. So he was very concerned, why is Hazrat wearing the watch on the left hand? So I told him, go and ask. I gave him some answer, but I told him, go and ask Hazrat directly. Shortly after that, Hazrat explained, and I knew the person personally. So this particular person was also, amongst other things, he had a bond on his house, and he had this on purchase from the bank, and that purchase from the bank. So Hazrat mentioned that the person was concerned about the watch that I'm wearing on my left hand. So firstly, in the time of Nabi Kareem Sahasam, there was no watches. So to say that you have to wear the watch in the right hand and it's sunnah, Nabi, there were no watches in those times. And then Hazrat explained that sometimes when a person is writing, so now the weight of the watch and the watch comes in the way, the person just looks with the left hand for the sake of convenience. But then Hazrat mentioned that the person is concerned about the sheikh wearing the watch on the left hand, but he's not worried about the interest transaction that he's engaging. The people are concerned, and as I said, people are concerned about the flies that are sitting on the noses of others, but they're forgetting the python that's wrapped around their own necks. So, respected elders and brothers, now, the point I want to make is that the person is in the first of all. Now we focus on ourselves, that we have changed ourselves externally, but unfortunately we have not internalized it. Hence you'll find a person, his entire life, his heart is spiritually diseased. He has got that pride that's hidden inside the heart. It is that ego that is now being inflated and inflated and inflated. And suddenly now when somebody pricks that ego of his, then you have an outburst. There is an outburst. Now we may say, but why is this the case? So it's like the example of a vehicle. You have the vehicle, the tires are very important, the engine is very important. But for example, the cooling system, if the person doesn't ensure there's no leak in his radiator, or the radiator cap is not functioning and doing the job that it's supposed to be doing, then we find that despite the tires being so good and the engine being in such good condition, just because the cooling system is not in order, you'll find that sooner than later that there'll be a breakdown. So that person, for example, who does not learn to control his pride and his takabbur and his anger, then sooner than later there will be a disaster in his life. And you find that when the person sits in the sohbat of the Ahlullah for those few moments, one very wealthy person came in the company of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Will end on this and continue inshallah if Allah gives life tomorrow. The person came in the sohbat of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. He was a Nawab. The Nawabs in those days were extremely wealthy. Allah had blessed them with tremendous wealth. He had requested that he wanted to become Bayat, pledge allegiance on the hands of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat agreed. So he came after the Zohar Salah, and he came with his entire entourage his entire entourage of khadims and servants and this one and that one, and he brought mitais, a nice big tray of mitais. He came and sat by Hazrat. So Hazrat was having some small program or meeting. So Hazrat saw him, Hazrat saw all the khadims and the whole entourage that he came with. So Hazrat told him that, we were supposed to do the bayat now, but if you don't mind, I just got some work to do at another masjid, you join me, and after Asar, inshallah, agar fursat mili, if we get time, then we'll do the bayat. So he said, koi baat nahi, inshallah. So Hazrat said, lekin, these khadims and all of that you came with, I'm sure they got some other work to do. They must be very occupied and busy. Send them away. You stay here. You keep the mitai too. So now this is a nawab. He is not used to doing these menial tasks and so on. So Hazrat took him. Hazrat, bring the mitai. What? Because then wherever we go, then you can distribute it. So Hazrat intentionally, normally he would take the route and avoid the bazaars and the marketplaces. But this time Hazrat intentionally went right through the bazaar and market. Now here's the nawab carrying this big tray of mitai and walking through the bazaar and marketplace. They reached the next location. By that time it was Asar. Hazrat looked at him. Hazrat said, "Theek hai, some work also. Let's go. After Maghrib, agar fursat mili to phir. After Maghrib, inshallah, we'll see." And like this, he took him Maghrib, next masjid, walked another through 2-3 kilometers, whatever it may have been. Finally, after Isha, Hazrat did the bayat. This Nawab told Hazrat, he said, "Hazrat, within this few moments, walking through the bazaar and marketplace, all my pride completely melted away. Because I felt it, initially I felt it well below my dignity to hold this tray and walk through the marketplace. But as I carried on walking through and walking through, this kayfiyat and this condition overwhelmed my heart that I'm absolutely useless. I'm absolutely nothing. Look at me, I'm just an ordinary person walking through the marketplace." So this Ahlullah, Allah Ta'ala blesses them with this antidote and this special antibiotic, if we may say, that just a little while, a small prescription they give us, and the person would have continued his life for years and years with that takabbur and pride, coming to the masjid thinking, okay, he's Mr. Somebody, and unfortunately because of the pride he's achieving nothing. And in the few moments with the company of that wali of Allah, from the farsh, from the ground, the person was able to raise his ranks and his spirituality to such a level. And sometimes we may feel like, I can do it myself, I'll do this myself. But we don't realize that sometimes if we do that, it's only going to inflate the pride. Inshallah, we'll discuss this tomorrow. Allahumma wafiqna wa iyyakum, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to spiritually reform ourselves. Subhanallah bihamdihi, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.